This is the Daily Ghost Podcast.
Listeners, and welcome to the Daily Ghost Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. If this is your first time, well, you tuned into a lucky episode because, of course, we're going to do a story today that I have to actually talk about at the end. Okay? And this is a special type of Daily Ghost episode. Still sort of the same. It could be a longer story, could be shorter, but what happens at the end is much different. Instead of just ending the episode, I have to review the story. Okay, and I didn't write these stories. That's not what it's about. I just want to give you my take on how I felt about it. So, if it's your first time, it's good that I told you that. But if you've been coming to the show as long as it's been in inception, well, you're annoyed right now because you know that's what it is. So, let's get into it, guys. This is the Daily Ghost Podcast. And this is Room 727.
The Daily Ghost Podcast presents Room 727.
Once again, welcome to Room 727. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to tell you a good story here, I believe. It is told by Judders, and it's called Room 20. So we're not actually in Room 727, but we're close. I mean, sort of. I mean, what, 707 floors away? 700 floors away, for sure. But here we are. Let's do this. Turn the lights down and let's get strange with another Room 727 right now. With Judders. Room 20. In the early part of the spring, post-skiers, pre-hikers, we had many guests. So my brother and I, our friends or cousins or whomever, would play hide-and-seek in the upstairs rooms, where they were all empty. This was terrific, because there were 12 beds to hide under, 12 or more tall closets you could shimmy up, and 12 bathtubs to lie down in. There was also a linen closet you could bury yourself under bales of white towels. Room 20 was at the front of the building overlooking the street and the tennis court. In addition to the bed and the bathtub, there was also a window seat with a hidden compartment. You lifted up the seat and there was a box there, just about big enough for a kid to contort himself into. One March day, we were playing with cousins who were visiting. My cousin Lori and I went to hide together in room 20. We opened the door and snuck in, only to find that it was freezing, as if the windows were wide open. It was also occupied. Huddled underneath the window were two children wrapped up in rags and blankets from head to foot. There was a woman or teenage girl with them, her waxy and delicate hand resting on the smaller child's shoulder. We stopped dead for maybe a heartbeat or two before we both knew we were seeing something wrong and unholy. They turned their heads sharply as if a sudden noise had been made. But by then, we were running out of the room. At my bachelorette campfire 20 years later, Lori said she could only remember they had eyes like caverns, and that the smallest one had a runny nose. I didn't see their faces. I remember that I ran with eyes shut tight all the way down the stairs. I think I was about 6 when it happened. I know I was able to play hide and seek up there again, but never in room 20. I was 13 when we sold the place, and by the end, I was being asked to help out with the cleaning of the rooms. One of the regular chambermaids told me that when I worked in room 20, or 19, or 24, I should bang on the door before entering and blast the TV the whole time. And I did. My mother, who was concerned about another ghost, the one that moved between 19 and 24, had a series of psychics come to the place to poke around, but they all described 20 as cold and sad. She was later able to locate a report, whether from old-timer hearsay or the Historical Society, I can't remember, that during the Civil War, a woman and her children froze to death while snowed in after a blizzard, waiting for the man of the place to come home with food. Okay, guys, so there's that story. As I said, it is called Room 20. And, you know, I like to make a connection with these stories to my own life. And I had worked in a hotel for some time. And there is an eeriness to those large buildings, especially when there's nobody there. But imagine the same thing is possible in a large house. I think it's just the vastness and the hollowness of the place that makes it all so creepy, or just working alone makes you, you conjure up these ideas that something's watching or could be there or is around the corner or you saw something in your peripheral. That happens. And that's why if you want to avoid that completely, always have some sort of sound going, you know? It just makes sense. Maybe that's why me in particular have never ran into a ghost. Is that because I always have some sort of sounds going? But then again, I am sitting here doing a podcast and there's nothing going but the sound of a fan. But then again, maybe that's the one thing keeping me from hearing anything paranormal. But either way, guys, I hope you're enjoying this week. 2 weeks, technically, I guess you'd say. Not technically, because it's not 14 straight days. But in my mind, 8 days of new episodes. I hope you're loving it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, this is the show that brings you the cheapest audiobooks possible from unknown authors. So don't forget to check them out as well. But until next time, this has been The Daily Ghost. Good night. This has been a Daily Ghost podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you've enjoyed every episode. And if you want to continue to hear more, don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Daily Ghost Pod. That's Daily Ghost P-O-D. And you can also support the show by simply visiting patreon.com/podculture. That's patreon.com/podculture. Help this thing grow. Help it become as creepy as we'd want. Thanks again for listening to the Daily Ghost Podcast. Until next time, my pretties.